Good evening. It's 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The time is...
You just said it, 6 p.m.
Yeah, I did that backwards. I should have said the time is 6 p.m. and I said 6 p.m. the time is, whatever it is. Well, you know what? They just made weed legal.
I got to call you on your stuff there.
And, you know, everybody's forgetting things. Mark, you know how that works. You know how that works. And who are you again anyway? So I'm here with old what's-his-name.
Yeah. Mark Levine. Mark keeping Levine. You honest.
That's it. And
along with Bill and David in the studio.
Yeah, Bill Elizabeth. And the name of the show is News Views on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. And Mark and I are going to have a blast. You're going to have a blast. At some point, we're going to open the mic. We're going to open the phones, and we're going to give you the opportunity to call in and speak with us. And Bill Witherspoon is going to make it all happen.
Actually, I think David Kelly's making it all happen. Bill's watching today.
It looks like. For a little while.
They'll switch places.
Yeah, don't count Bill out yet.
All right, fair enough.
And we got plenty to talk about. And as you know, the fund drive is still going on. I certainly want to give the number out. The number is 202-588-9739.
Yes, sir.
WPFW.
202-588-WPFW. WPFW is moving to a new location. We're getting out of our temporary basement, and that's why we could really use your help.
Yep, and don't forget, for just $50, you can become a member. I certainly thank all of my listeners. They've been doing very well. We've been hitting our numbers every week. We've been going above our numbers every week.
We still need to do it this week. So
this is the last time.
Folks need to help us out. So we can move. And listen, there's so much to talk about. We got the Conservative Political Action Committee, CPAC.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C.
PAC?
It only has like 12 conservatives, but then they all descend for this convention, and suddenly everybody's wearing bow ties and going to bed at 10 p.m., I guess.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yes.
Except for when they're out drinking, which is very common.
Yeah. So, at any rate, we're going to be talking about a lot of good stuff today. You're going to be talking about a lot of good stuff. We're going to take a little bit of time here and there to talk about WPFW. But my goal, again, is $250, and I'm hoping that I'm sure that our callers are going to call 202-588-WPFW, 202-588-9739, and donate, help keep WPFW on the air. Costs about $100,000 a month to keep this 50,000-watt FM radio station. Lots of volunteers. I mean, we got over 150 volunteers that come to this station and help make it happen. And, you know, we've got a 50,000-watt transmitter here, which takes a lot of money to keep that going and the studio going. And we can talk about whatever we want to because you keep us on the air, not Walmart or, you know, some other gigantic evil mart. Mark, recently, let's start here. Recently, there has been a rash of mania, a rash of craziness, a rash of obscene absurdities, wherein a given Republican representative, governor, whatever the case may be, is asked something to the tune of, is Barack Obama fill in the blank? Is he a Christian? Well, I don't know. Never ask him. Of course, I guess.
Yeah, they asked that of Scott Walker. They said, is Obama a Christian? He said,
never ask him.
I don't know.
And you know what?
I'm thinking, well, where have you been? Have you lived in, I don't know, the United States, or maybe you've lived in Outer Mongolia for the last...
You know, by his logic, he doesn't know if the Pope is Catholic.
Well,
because he's never asked him.
That's true.
I never asked the Pope if he was Catholic, I don't know.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
It's a fair point.
You know, now, I bet if you ask him, is Barack Obama a black man, bet your conservatives could answer that one real fast. I bet they wouldn't stumble on that one.
He could have said, you know... If he doesn't want to justify whatever beliefs he doesn't like, he could simply say, President Obama says he's Christian and I take him at his word or
nonsense
like that. No? Oh, can't take him at his word?
Can't do that. He'd be taking him at his word. That's unacceptable. Now, and how's the other one? Does Barack Obama love America?
Yeah, that was Giuliani's question. And Giuliani.
And there's been some others that have been asked.
But Giuliani didn't say, I don't know. He said, no.
No.
He said, the President of the United States does not love the country of which he is president. Which that would be a first. There have been many, many, many misguided presidents of the United States of America, but I can't say that any of them hated their country. I can think of some Confederate leaders who maybe hated their country.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Because they rebelled
Jefferson
against their
Davis,
country.
Yeah,
But he was never president. So it's really hard it's amazing that here's the thing about Giuliani. So he said something really stupid. And when confronted with it, he could have said, all right, I apologize. I went too far. I don't like Obama's policies. And so No, he doubled down. He tripled down. He said, no, I don't think the man loves his country. And it was a weird phrase because, you know, Garland, you and I have been in radio a long time. We remember when George Bush was president. We were on the radio
then. I try to forget that.
But you and I certainly criticized President Bush and Vice President Cheney, umpteen times.
Yeah, pretty much.
1,000, 12,000, 100,000 times. And we made jokes about them, we complained about them, etc. At no time did you or I ever say that George Bush didn't love his country. I think George Bush was extremely misguided. But I wouldn't say he didn't love his country. So it's a really, really weird. It's all about saying we can't confront President Obama's policies. You know, we have no way to say that giving people more health care or raising minimum wage or trying to cut down on climate change is our policy arguments aren't working.
Right.
So we're just going to just attack the man personally. And I've always argued that an ad hominem attack, attacking someone personally, is an admission that you have no logical reason to oppose the person.
And let's go into this a little bit deeper because there's more to it than just this. You know, when somebody starts spouting absurdities, that ain't it. You know, this is philosophically, there's more going on here. Let me tell you what I think. We have a party, and I'm going to put this clearly. The GOP has, and I really believe this, has lost their identity. Here's what I mean. If someone says to me, "How you doing, Garland?" and I say, "Yeah, I'd be fine if Mark wasn't in my life," you know, and then they say,
"That is what you say off air,
well,
isn't
yeah,
it, Garland?"
That's true, but let's just
hypothetically.
And then they say, "What are you going to do tomorrow?" I'm going to think about how Mark's ruining my life. What are you doing? I'm writing some letters that are some anti-Mark letters, and then I'm going to go to the anti-Mark meeting.
Yeah,
and then
you're no longer Garland; you're anti-Mark.
We're saving up money to rent a skywriter so we can write Mark is a socialist evil. After a while, I lose my identity.
That's right,
and I become nothing more than the guy who hates Mark.
That's right.
I become nothing more than this weird, this caricatured reflection of Mark. Everything is Mark. You know, I remember when I was years ago, I put a program together on domestic violence, and part of the study was on men who had killed or violently assaulted their girlfriends. And one of the things they found was, leading up to that, these men, there was a name for this mental cycle they got in, where it got to the point where they were like, everything's her. She's ruining my life. She's destroying everything. You know, they lost their job because they got arrested for assaulting her. She caused me to lose my job. They're drinking all the time. She's making me. They got into this weird,
they lose themselves.
Right. And they get into this mental cycle where she's doing everything. She's destroying everything. She's destroying blah, 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 blah. And it builds up to, you know, and there's a name for the cycle, but of course, not being a psychologist, I don't know.
They lose their sense of agency. They lose their sense of control. They don't believe they're making decisions.
Right.
They believe all decisions on Earth are because of this
person. And I would go here. And it's gotten to the point, let's face it, the GOP, we didn't like the way they governed in the first place under George Bush. They were able to govern, we just didn't like their policies. Okay. They have so lost their identity. They have so become this twisted version of "We Hate Obama." That they can't do anything anymore. They can't fund they know right now that they need to fund the Department of Homeland Security. They can't.
They're the ones complaining about threats of terrorist attacks all the time. They're the ones complaining about security on the southern border all the time.
Yep.
And yet, what agency protects us from terrorist attacks and protects the border with Mexico? It's the Department of Homeland Security.
And people don't realize. I mean, it's not just DHS, just in a little agency. They put everything under it.
Right.
The Coast Guard is under the Department. Right. TSA or whatever, they're under all of these many, many agencies that you would have no idea that are under anything that they could remotely, customs is under it. Anything they could remotely associate with borders and all of this, that's all. So you're talking about a lot of things that you really need to keep going. But my point.
Well, and they're doing it because they don't like President Obama's policy. President Obama issued an executive order on immigration that said, we're going to focus on deporting criminals.
Right.
Rather than on undocumented immigrants who've been here for 30 years and have done nothing wrong other than coming in this country.
Right.
Given that's our history, we're a nation of immigrants. It's been very successful for us so far in the first 200 odd years of this country.
Yeah.
But rather than basically kick out people who are similar to our ancestors, you know, we'll focus on the criminals first. The Republicans don't like that idea. Obama said, "All right, you got another idea? Let's do immigration
reform." Well, they didn't have a problem with it before Obama.
Well,
Reagan did it.
Reagan did a different kind of immigration executive order. That's exactly right. And George Bush did as well.
George Bush did it.
That's right. So at the end of the day, Obama said, you don't like this? All right, work with me. Let's do comprehensive immigration reform. We'll get a bill through Congress that has Republican and Democratic angles. Republicans said, no, we can't do that because that'll give you a win.
Yeah, the first three words. Work with me.
Yeah, work
with me. Whatever. Anything that comes after that, the Republican answer has to be no.
To work with him. They said no for 6 years. He said, well, if you're not going to work with me after 6 years, I'm just going to do it without you.
Right.
And they said, how dare you not work with us?
Right.
You see. So this is the equivalent of basically holding a temper tantrum. We're just not going to fund the government at all.
But I think it's a little something different than that for this reason. Look what's going on now. Mitch McConnell, the people in the Senate realized they need to do it.
They voted 98-2.
Now, in the House, there are a lot of Republicans that are saying, we need to do this. Let's not shut down DHS. But you have an element, a very, very strongly Southern, deep Southern, South, element from the deep South, who have no other identity than an anti-Obama identity, and who say, no matter what, we got to fight against what Obama's doing.
And
my point being this, Mark, to a degree, that their party has become, and the people that lead it have bought into it to a degree that their party is not the Republican Party, it's the anti-Obama Party, and they are unable to effectively do anything. And let me add this, here's evidence. When you ask all the Republicans that are running in 2016, okay, tell me a little bit, I hate Obama. What about, Obama's terrible. Obama's not even running in 2016, and they're still running against Obama because their party has lost all philosophical identity other than Obama's evil, and we must stop Obama. He's, you know, when he gets up in the morning, he puts his shoe on unconstitutionally, and then he walks unconstitutionally across the Rose Garden, and he lawlessly looks at the sun come up.
Right. Basically, he is a weak tyrant.
Right.
He's too weak and he's too strong at the same time.
You're right. Yes.
The same time. Very dangerous. So not all Republican candidates. Marco Rubio famously, when asked if Obama loves his country, says, of course he loves his country.
Oh, Captain Thirsty
we just disagree as a matter of policy. And interestingly, his star is not rising in the Republican Party because he's saying something that's pretty ordinary and rational. But I'll tell you whose star is rising. Guy by the name of Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, said something very interesting at the CPAC convention, the Conservative Political Action Committee convention. His star apparently is rising because he's not just anti-Obama, you see. He's anti, all right. He's anti all American working people. Here's what he said.
Oh, yeah, right.
This is what he said. This is great. He said, I know I'm going to be a tough leader. I'm going to be a tough leader against those ISIS terrorists. And the proof that I'm going to be a tough leader against those ISIS terrorists is look how I stood up to those unions. Look right. how I stood up to those teachers. I made sure that teachers could not bargain for higher wages. I made sure that they would lose their health care. I cut wages. I cut health care. I destroyed the working people of Wisconsin. Now imagine what I can do to ISIS.
Right.
And some people are wondering if perhaps the working people of America are not our enemy. Some would say, in fact, that a terrorist group that beheads people and sets people on fire is perhaps more harmful to America than working people trying to get a better wage.
Well, if you
but to Scott Walker, you know, I was tough against Wisconsin working people. I'll be tough against the terrorists, and people cheered him.
If you live in a conservative,
that's who they live for.
If you live in a conservative reality, where there, you know, it's the old Manichaean reality where the universe there's two things in the universe.
Unions, teachers, pure good. ISIS, all the same.
There's pure good and there's pure evil. And guess what side I'm on?
I guess so.
Always, everyone who says that there's two sides, pure good and pure evil, always, coincidentally, oddly enough, happens to always be on the side of good.
I wouldn't put Dick Cheney, who I really dislike, wouldn't put him on the side of ISIS, you know, but to put unions.
No, they're a lot more reasonable than Dick Cheney. couldn't resist that one. It's 8:19. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
Let's give up the number so people can pledge.
Yes.
Real quick. 202-588-9739. This is the kind of discussion you can't have on most talk radio in this country, and we could use your help.
Yeah, just compared Dick Cheney with ISIS, didn't I?
Well, not quite, but
no. Okay. Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right now, WPFW is running our winter funding drive. The theme of the drive is Ubuntu. We are because you are. Ubuntu is a Southern African term which translates to human kindness. At WPFW, we believe firmly in this principle and that it is our responsibility to support each other. That is why we do not take any commercial support or underwriting, so as to bring you the independent voices, quality music, and alternative news you have come to rely on. You can partner with WPFW by calling 202-588-9739 or by visiting WPFWFM.org and clicking on Support Us.
My name is Garland Nixon. I'm here with Mark Levine, and the show is called News Views on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Thank you for listening. You're listening to WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. Once again, to remind you, we are still in pledge drive. We are holding at a steady 0% of our $250 goal right now. So hopefully, I'm sure.
Do you have any gifts to give out? Last time we had a CD set of Martin Luther King speeches.
Oh,
that was fantastic.
Yes, we most certainly did. It was called the Essential Box Set of Martin Luther King. It's a 6-CD set. And what it is, it's a landmark speeches and sermons of Dr. Martin Luther King. For the first time ever, 24, listen to this, original recordings of Dr. King, from his iconic I Have a Dream speech to his stirring sermon, A Knock at Midnight, are collected in this treasured box. So it's a 6-CD set.
But here's the thing, though. Most of us have heard I Have a Dream speech,
yeah,
which is, of course, one of the greatest speeches of mankind. But many, there's so many, how many speeches are on there? Because some of the more obscure speeches.
24.
Well, I guarantee I haven't heard 24
speeches.
The
one where he talked about Vietnam, his famous anti-war speech, that's on there. I also think
the speech before his death.
Yeah,
I've seen
and they've got someone reading his on there with his letter from the jail and
Birmingham jail.
That's, yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of really it's really awesome, and a lot of stuff you haven't heard.
Well, it's good because it's not just the speeches that most of us have heard, but some more obscure things. I mean, a lot of people haven't heard his speech on Vietnam, for example.
And people who have not really looked into King don't realize something, and that was he is presented by the media as kind of a Moses, lead my people out of the wilderness kind of guy, when the fact is he was a revolutionary progressive.
Are you saying he was whitewashed?
Right, no pun intended. Yeah.
I think the pun was intended.
He was a very, very revolutionary progressive. He's portrayed as a civil rights leader. He used the term human rights all the time.
That's right.
Martin Luther King constantly said human rights. And he was very, very pro-labor. Extremely pro-labor.
He fought for more than voting rights, civil rights.
People don't realize
he fought for economic rights.
The 1963 march on Washington was a march for jobs.
Jobs and freedom?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Right. It was about, so he was very much about economic equality. That's why he was, if you think of the people back, same with Paul Robeson, if you think about some of the really famous leaders, they were very, very much into organized labor.
So how much do you have to donate?
Well, what we're asking is $165 for $165 for the 6-CD set, Dr. Martin Luther King, the landmark speeches and sermons. But if you don't have $165, certainly $50, whatever you can, 202-588-9739, 202-588-WPFW. The show is News Views on, and we're certainly asking for your support.
And let's remember, this is not a commercial radio station. This is not funded by corporations. Right? You don't hear those jingles in your ears. You ever notice why you don't hear those commercials? The only commercials you hear are for WPFW.
That's it.
The same is true on,
or for community things happening in the community.
That's
nonprofit
exactly right.
Things, something
and the
like
reason
that.
Is because if we were owned or run or advertised by corporations, then we'd have to maybe not criticize them so much. And and that's something Garland and I like to do. Whether it's Walmart or Staples or the cable company,
Barilla. Well, we let them have it too.
That's
remember
true.
The
Barilla anti-gay. That's right.
Who else have we had? Chick-fil-A. We let them have a table.
We filleted Chick-fil-A.
That's it. We fried Chick-fil-A.
We did.
But we couldn't do that if we were out there trying to get Chick-fil-A money. So let's talk about a couple things. What we're getting into, and this is something I think we need to discuss in this, and that is, there was a Republican Party that was what it was. And under George Bush, it was a far right wing party. But as I said, they under George Bush enacted their agenda. Even though they passed Medicare Part B, which I was thrilled about. I was thrilled about it. But yeah, I mean, there were some giveaways. A lot of it was giveaways
to pharmaceutical companies. It had some good in it,
but
I think more bad than
what it did was it did provide pharmaceutical coverage for seniors that they didn't have before. It's really,
and that's a good thing.
It was a really good thing.
But it also gave
thing.
A lot of subsidies to a lot
right.
of big corporations.
Yeah, yeah. It was, and that's, but here's the truth. The truth of the matter is this. That's the only way you were going to get it out of the Republicans.
Well,
so
true.
For seniors, it was worth it, and afterwards you can tweak it, but it was worth it for seniors because they didn't have coverage and they couldn't afford it, and a lot of them were losing their lives.
It actually also gave them a big donut hole. People forget that. It was right. a big hole in
which
coverage in the middle,
covered.
Which that's exactly right, the Affordable You're Care right. Act covered.
But the long and short of it was they were able to effectively do some things that they wanted to do. And now, so let's talk about this. What the Republican Party has become. I made the point they lost
the
their identity
no.
and they've become not just really, not just no. It's so, it's, I mean, they are so pathologically, they are pathologically focused on Barack Obama as this Satan figure.
Antichrist is what the word
it
I
really
was thinking
is.
Of.
Yeah. And those who don't, who aren't religious, then aren't the evangelicals that don't see him, you know, as the Antichrist per se related to their religious beliefs, see him as a metaphorical Antichrist, you know, as this the evil being, the evil angel of light. And my point is this, so much so that it's transformed their party into something very different than it was before.
It is vital to say what you're for and not just what you're against. And again, we've been around. I certainly remember doing lots of shows during the Bush-Cheney era.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to personify. I remember I once did a show about Dick Cheney where I played Darth Vader music in the background.
Right?
full admission. All right, I did it.
And I think that was quite appropriate.
But, and I did it, and I had some fun, and I laughed about it. But at the end of the day, all throughout that era, you and I and Terry Kester, we talked about things we cared about, goals we shared, progressive goals, whether it was health care for everyone
right.
or minimum wage or income inequality or protecting the environment, whatever it was. We opposed the Republican leaders because they were opposed to what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't just saying, oh, we oppose them because
they're evil.
Right. See, if you oppose someone because they're wrong, that's fine. If you want to say, for example, we don't like the Affordable Care Act and we've got this substitute that
right.
you know, that would be fair. That's policy. That's the way it's supposed to work. And Southern Republicans say, we don't like it. We want to repeal it. We have nothing else in
right.
society. It's a nihilism. It's an
right.
They want to annihilate what Obama's done, but not replace it with anything else.
And you know, you make a good point here, and I'll tell you where I like to go with that. Just a thought on that. They have become so much, we hate Obama, the anti-Obama party, that there was a time when the Republicans, even though they were fraudulent policies, they'd say, this is what we can do for you, that what we, they offered things. It was things we didn't like and we didn't agree with, but the Democrats said, this is what we want to do, and the Republicans said, this is what we want to do. And we said, well, what they want to do is kind of crazy, but at least that's what they want to do, and we could talk about that. Okay. They've gotten to a point where they have nothing to offer the electorate. They have nothing to offer their own base.
Let me give you an example.
Go ahead.
This week, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, did an amazing thing. They put forward net neutrality, which
right.
basically protects the internet like our phones are protected. We
right.
go anywhere we want on the internet. We can't have a company keep blocking us from going
right.
to certain
right.
sites and everything. Now, that's a policy that when you explain it to people, 75% of Americans support it.
Right.
It's hardly a Democratic policy. Independents support it. Republicans support it.
Libertarians especially
Everybody
support
supports
it
because yeah. the idea is, like, you can call whomever you want. You should be able to go wherever you want on the internet.
Right.
You shouldn't have, you know, Comcast preventing you from going to Verizon
sites. Like they do in
sites.
China
yeah,
or Pakistan
exactly.
or Egypt.
You shouldn't have censorship.
Yeah.
And you think that being against censorship is something that could unite all Americans. Well, it happens to be something that big corporations want. Big corporations give millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars to Republicans. And so the Republican Party, not necessarily at the local level, but the ones in Congress, firmly oppose this idea of internet freedom.
Right.
They actually oppose freedom. This party that talks about freedom all the time opposes freedom. And so when the FCC said, you know, well, we regulate telephones, why shouldn't we regulate the internet in the same way? You find this huge complaint by Republicans. And I remember thinking to myself, if George Bush did this,
they'd be fine
wouldn't
with
they
it.
Be not only fine with it, but praising it and talking about this is the president of internet freedom and good for President Bush. And if they had done that, I don't think the Democrats would have said, oh, well, we oppose internet freedom because they support it.
You're right.
The Democrats said, yeah, Bush, okay, you did a good thing. I remember, there's only one good thing that I can remember that George Bush did.
PEPFAR.
He expanded daylight savings time, and I happen to like daylight savings time.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? Okay, I agree. Let's have more daylight savings time. I didn't say, oh, Bush wants it. Okay, therefore it's wrong.
Right.
You know, he aids in Africa. There are a couple little things that Bush did.
Bottom line is, if he did something that you agreed with, you supported it.
Exactly. But you find it's interesting because the Affordable Care Act, which they call Obamacare, has an older name. That older name is Romney Care.
Yeah, right.
It's what Mitt Romney proposed in Massachusetts.
Excuse me. It's what the Heritage Foundation proposed. What was it, way back under Nixon? Or was that under Bob Dole? Somewhere. It was a what? 20, 30 years ago.
About 20 years ago. I think it was the 90s. But, yes, the Heritage Foundation proposed it. The carbon tax, which is a great way to fight climate change, is, again, a conservative proposal. Economists love it because it allows the trading of efficiencies. And it's a conservative. It's moderate. It's a reasonable proposal.
Yeah.
The second Obama claimed those, Republicans no longer want. I'll just give you one more third example, immigration reform. George W. Bush supported immigration reform.
Yep.
And in fact, got a bill through Congress, through the Senate, that had John McCain supported. Mm-hmm. Some 20 Republicans who supported the exact same bill under George W. Bush switched sides, suddenly opposed it when President Obama did the same thing. And what it shows is that there's no there.
Right.
There's no intellectual consistency. They simply oppose the Democrats. Not based on ideas, but based on simple opposition.
Right. Well, you know, I say this, that I've never looked for a lot of intellectual consistency when it comes to the conservative. The only consistency that I've noticed is this. We're right and you're wrong. That's their consistency. We want to get what we want, and we don't want you to get what we want.
And you oppose freedom.
And whatever we need to do or whatever we need to say, it is easy.
And all kinds of just stupid rhetoric. You know, you oppose freedom.
But now it has become, as I said, they have if you walk around all day saying, I hate that guy, I hate that guy, that guy's bad, he's ruining my life. You know, I see these memes sometimes online where, like, some guy slipped and fell on the ice, and above it, it'll say, thanks, Obama. You know, they got another one where, like, a guy ran his car into a tree, and he's standing there looking at his car, and he's like, thanks, Obama.
Right.
And that's the joke, but it's to a point where, you know, a conservative gets up and he stubs his toe on the corner of the bed in the middle of the night. That darn Obama! You know?
Actually, there's a wonderful cartoon. President Obama himself, I forgot what he was talking about, football characters, nothing, but he played a joke on himself. He did something and he messed up a shot or something, basketball or something. He said, thanks, Obama!
Yeah, right.
Which actually was appropriate because it's his own fault.
Right, right?
At least that's the first time it's appropriate.
And that's the meme, but it's become, you know, so what we really haven't really talked about is, because, I mean, we are, you know, so busy condemning the Republican Party, which I might add is a lot of fun. I might certainly get a lot of joy out of doing that. But we don't get into the reality of, you know, what is it anymore? It is a simulation of itself. It is a false simulation of itself. It is now nothing. And not only that, I think the election of Barack Obama, and we can talk about his race and all that other thing, but the direction of Barack Obama has really split the party.
Well, I was just going to say,
there's no sitting on the fence. There's no place for moderates. Now you have to either despise Barack Obama or you're evil and you're one of the evil ones. Let me just say the finish. You got to either despise Barack Obama and everything he stands for, or you got to pretend like you despise him and everything that he stands for, or you'll get crucified.
I was just going to say, there are still, hiding under a few rocks, there are moderate Republicans out there. They do exist. But what happens is the Tea Party tail is wagging the Republican Party dog. So when you say all Republicans are like that, some of our listeners may think, well, I'm a Republican, I'm not like that. And the answer is, you may not be, but the people who control your party are. I'm not so sure that John Boehner's like that, but he is controlled hook, line, and sinker by the Tea Party wing of his party.
You know, the old saying they had when about horses and wagons, you can only run as fast as your slowest horse.
There you go.
You got four horses. And they have an element of their party that's dragging them. Where John Boehner's sitting right now, he's probably in a bar, but let's just say he's sober and he knows what's going on. Where John Boehner...
Would you be sober if you had a bunch of tea parties?
If I was John Boehner, I'd probably...
You'd be drunk the whole time.
I'm in D.C., I'd probably be smoking weed.
He's got a tough job. He's got an impossible job, actually.
Yeah, if you come to think of it, John Boehner's not at the bar, man. He's probably sitting there somewhere, you know, down there on U Street hanging out with a buddy in a bungalow.
That's another thing. 70% of D.C. voters.
Yeah.
70%. You try to find 70% of people that agree on anything.
Yeah.
You voted for Proposition to make it
marijuana legal.
And, you know, Congress, which... There are a lot of conservative states.
Yeah.
Colorado's a purple state. Alaska's a red state.
Yeah, Alaska's a red state.
You know, so they're conservative states. When it happens in their states, they're fine with it. But they don't want to let this colony called D.C., which they have control over,
right,
have the same rights that their home states do.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of showboating. But I lost my point.
We were talking about Boehner and his drug habit.
No, I wasn't.
That's what I heard you say, Garlo. That's what I heard you say.
Satire.
I heard you say. Oh, okay.
It was parody.
Right. Oh, you're being hypothetical. Okay.
But at any rate,
I thought you were talking about John Boehner's drug habit.
Satirically, I was.
Satirically.
Okay, because satire is protected speech.
That's
in
true.
The media.
Thank God, something's protected.
Yeah. Theoretically, but at any rate,
and if you're gonna protect us and keep us on the air, we need some help.
Yeah. But at any rate, so my point is now, how do you know? I'm looking at it.
I was segueing to the number, yeah. Garland. You totally missed my segue.
Oh my gosh.
I said if we want to keep us on the air, we could use some help at 202-588-9739. I pitched this softball to Garland Nixon. It totally went over his head.
And I swung and missed. I whiffed, as they say. I whiffed that one.
It is Pledge Drive. And we could use your help.
So we'll
and we can't make these jokes on other stations.
That's it. We'll be right back. The number's 202-588-9739.
Pledge what
you can, know, whatever you can pledge, we're happy with. You know, $50 would be nice, $35, whatever the case may be. For $50, you can be a member. Garland Nixon, Mark Levine, and my man Bill Witherspoon. We'll be back in 1 minute, WPFW. You listen to WPFW 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. Garland Nixon with my man Mark Levine and handling all of the really strange devices that there's VU meters and UV meters and VUV meters. There's lights flashing. There's phones ringing. And Bill Witherspoon is over there making some sense of all that craziness that I don't even understand and keeping us on the air. We're going to take a few calls. If you do want to call us, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. We're talking... one of the issues we're talking about now is the Republican Party and what it is now, what it has transformed into, what this whole anti-Obama, I hate Obama has turned this party into a caricature of a political party. It's not a party. They have people that are starting to run for president in 2016 and they're running against Barack Obama and they don't even realize. Well, no, excuse me. It's not that they don't realize he's not running, but they understand that their party is so much we hate Obama that the only way to get traction and support is to stand on the highest orange crate that they can stand on and scream to the masses' base. You got to face to the south. That's their version of Mecca. You face to the south towards Mississippi and scream, I hate Barack Obama. And it just echoes back and
forth. They're going to get a new memo. It's going to come around, July of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to say, substitute all your references from Barack Obama to Hillary Clinton.
And
they're going to turn into the anti-Hillary Clinton party. You watch. It's going to happen. Suddenly, they'll start hating her instead of hating him.
You know what I think? I think that the people running are going to say, sure, we could run against Hillary. But the way they really get to touch the hearts of our base... I got to say the word Obama and evil and socialist and communist in a sentence. I got
to
put those.
Well, they can always tie
Hillary
to Obama.
A noun, a verb, and I hate Obama. And Obama's a socialist. That's the only sentence you need. 202-588-0893. What are your thoughts on that? Speaking of which, we've got Tesfa. Tesfa, welcome to WPFW. Thank you for calling.
Good evening, my friend.
Good evening, my Tesfa. Friend, Tesfa.
Politics has to be a war of ideas and always constructive, because the culture we build today, whatever we build today, will be lived by our children in a few years, and they will inherit something bad, not because of their action, but because of the actions of the older generation, their fathers and grandfathers.
Mm-hmm.
And second, it looks so bad because it looks like the dictators of the third world, including my own divisive dictators in Ethiopia, if this doesn't look like a democracy, it looks like something is coming, something bad is coming to the United States.
We can always trust you, Tesla, to take the appropriate metaphor and make it something to do with Ethiopia.
Yeah, so we kind of figured the dictator in Ethiopia was going to rear his ugly head somewhere in that conversation.
You got to watch him. He might join the Republican Party.
Yeah.
But thank you, Tesla. We do like when you call.
Lisa, welcome to WPFW. I don't recall the name Lisa. I think we have a new caller. You're on the air, Lisa.
I hope so. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. What are your thoughts on where the Republicans, have they lost their way? Maybe they never had a way.
I don't think they ever had one.
Yeah.
Because when you say you're a conservative and you speak against a socialist, now you're speaking against the teaching of Jesus Christ.
Because that's actually a good point.
Jesus Christ found socialism when he said, love your brother as yourself, prepare to give to those who do not and cannot provide for themselves.
You know, Lisa, you make a really good point. I would think if we had a Democratic presidential candidate who said the meek shall inherit the earth, it's easier for a rich man, for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven, and started, wiping away money changers. Are you kidding? They think they would call that person a communist and try to get them arrested. The principles of Christianity. The principles of Judaism, the Jubilee year, by the way, where you redistribute all the wealth,
right,
are radically socialist. So much
That's
further
right.
to the left of the Democratic Party, and yet the Republicans claim to be some kind of Christian party.
Well, let me ask you a question, Lisa, and this is what I think, and let me ask you what you think. When you talk about what the word socialist really means, I don't think when you're talking about the conservatives that they even care anymore. I think to them the word socialist means that's something evil and bad, and that's Obama, and I hate it. And they don't even really.
It's an all-purpose insult.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of conservatives that say, I hate Obama, he's a socialist. And if you said to them, what's a socialist, they couldn't answer the question because they don't even know what it means. They just don't like him, and it sounds like a bad word. What do you think about that, Lisa?
I think you're right, but also, if you look back at history during the time of Christ, they persecuted Christ for the same thing. So, I mean, they called him a wine bibber. They called him, when he spoke with the poor, they called the prostitute.
I mean, he hung out with lepers and prostitutes. And the Republican Party today, they don't know whether President Obama's Christian. They wear Christianity on their sleeves, and yet they would oppose everything that Jesus did.
That's it.
It's amazing. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Very good point.
And before we go any further, certainly want to thank. We've got a couple of very generous donors. Prince, first of all, I want to thank Prince out in Germantown, Maryland, who has donated in memory of his lovely wife Christine, and he's gotten the Martin Luther King the Essential Box.
Terrific for
$165.
Very generous.
Certainly appreciate you. Andre Barnett in Columbia, Maryland, who says, I love the radio station and wish Garland Nixon's show was on every evening. Here's a guy we really need to start listening to. But thank you, Prince, and certainly I appreciate the donation in memory of your dear wife Christine and Andre Barnett in Columbia. Thank you very much. Certainly appreciate that.
Well, we have another pledge of $50.
We got another. That's right. So
as
things.
Well.
That's it. So thank you very much. If you want to pledge, the number is 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. We got a couple more callers. We got more callers. Who next?
Bill,
welcome to WPFW. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Good evening. How are you doing, sir?
Fantastic.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, I'm trying to distinguish between the Democrat and Republican Party. Right here in Washington, D.C. is basically ruled by Democrats. And I don't see the poor people in this city getting any kind of shake at all, but shaking out the city. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, part of the problem is the mayor of D.C. doesn't have as much power as we would like the mayor to have. If D.C. were a state, she would have a lot more power. She's got Congress looking over her shoulder. But
Republicans in Congress who run the House, so her hands are definitely tied.
But is there something specific you'd like to see Mayor Bowser do that she hasn't done?
You say there's something I would like for her to do that she hasn't done?
Yeah, what would you like to see her do? What specifically?
Well, I think she needs to turn off some of these managers of a lot of these agencies, sir, because a lot of them have been there for a long time, and they're making good money, and their power have gone to their head. And basically, when you go in there for service, they treat you like you're nothing or nobody. And I just don't think that's a good way to treat people if you're in government.
Well, that's for sure. And that's something. Look.
Whatever we change, the mayor is the same old people there.
I'm just saying,
I don't see too much difference in either party. And out there in West St. Louis, the people that ran that town, I think they were Democrats, weren't they? No,
they're Republicans. In Ferguson, they're Republicans. Yeah. I don't know about St. Louis.
And I'll say this go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say there's no excuse for a government agency not to treat the populace with consideration we are their bosses, and they have to treat us with kindness. And so if you don't think Mayor Bowser is doing that, I suggest you write a letter to her, send her an email, specifically describe the agency that treated you wrong, and make some changes. Because even if you are wrong, you go to the DMV and they tell you you need something you don't have, they could tell you nicely. There's no point in being rude.
I agree. And if you have an issue with something specific, I think really if you go somewhere and you don't like the way you're treated or something, I think you should complain, that you should file a written complaint or some type of claim.
Call your council person.
Yeah, because I'm not one who believes in just. I'll put it like this: I'm not an anti-government person. I believe that the government is, first of all, as a black person, the federal government's the only reason that I'm not being lynched right now. The federal government's the only reason that my daughter could go to a regular school, an integrated school. You know what I mean? That black people.
The government is full of many, many individuals,
right.
Some of whom are excellent public servants, some of whom are terrible public servants.
And I believe that people who work every day should be paid well.
Absolutely.
So I believe that rather than when people say the people in government make a lot of money,
actually they don't.
They make a fair, make a reasonable money.
People in government do not make a lot of money.
And here's the thing about it. The problem is not that they're overpaid. The problem is that companies like Walmart and these other companies don't pay a fair. They make unbelievable billions of dollars, and they peel it all over the top where the government, the people get retirement and things like that.
What do you think of Walmart actually finally raising their wages this week?
You know, guess what? Did you know this?
I've gone from hating Walmart 10 out of 10 to hating Walmart 9.5 out of 10.
I'm a 9.9. But you know one of the reasons they did it? I read this great article on it. When it came to customer service amongst all of the major chains, Walmart ranked dead last.
That's because they had so much turnover because they paid their employees so
terribly.
There was
a study that said they had so much turnover, the employees were unhappy. Because they had turnover, none of the employees knew where anything were anymore. They were overworked.
They were probably surly and unhappy.
Right. And their numbers were going down. They dropped by like 0.5% last week. While places like Costco,
which treats its employees very well.
Yeah, so the reality is I don't think Walmart woke up one day and said, let's do the right thing.
No.
They saw what they were doing was
bad for business to mistreat its own workers.
That's it.
They finally saw it.
They'd sell the people. They'd package the employees and sell them for Soylent Green so we could eat them if they thought they could make an extra dollar.
I'm sure they could. But
I'm dating myself when I say Soylent Green. That's enough.
I don't think most people know what Soylent Green is. Soylent Green is people.
It's people, yeah.
It's a long story. Yeah.
You think a lot about
it. Look it up. All you under 40, look it up on Wikipedia.
Well, it's a classic, even though if you're not over
30.
Yeah, you know, like Young Frankenstein and Soylent Green and The Clockwork Orange, you got to see movies like that.
All right.
Who do we have next? I'm getting lost here. Right?
Clearly,
Andrew, welcome to WPFW. The Clockwork Orange, good stuff.
Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
You're on the air, Andrew. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
Oh, you're on the air. You are live.
Oh yes. First of all, as soon as I pay my tithes, because I'm a little few weeks behind it, I'm going to make my pledge. That's a gift.
Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate that. And just put down their news views. Garland and Mark, just put that on your pledge so they know during our show.
I don't want to waste all my time on that. Okay,
go ahead.
Listen, let me go on because Now, let me say this to you. You just got through mentioning Walmart and them. I told you the other day, hours need to be changed. The 44 cents that they got, please. Now here is somebody mentioned the Darth Vader. He is a part of Hellebite. Then he gave it up for this, but he's still a part of it.
You're talking about Cheney and Halliburton.
It's a paramilitary thing. They might just want to come in and take over the government anyhow, in our own. Now, we want to talk about ISIS. Well, what about the Ku Klux Klan? You know, what about everybody else? You know, start paying attention to America. I don't even know what to say.
Well, thank you very much.
We
appreciate you calling, and we appreciate you listening to the show. And, you know, that's what we want. We want people to call in. We want to give their opinion, and we appreciate the opinion of every single caller. We certainly thank you for calling in.
Who's next?
Steven! Welcome to WPFW. Steven, you're on the air.
Hi. So I had a comment and also a question.
Okay.
So first I want to say that I was generally raised as a staunch liberal.
Okay.
However, I generally identify as an independent. And a couple years ago, I actually registered as a Republican, funnily enough. And
we believe in redemption for everyone.
Yes, yes. And I don't consider myself a Republican, though I am registered. But I just want to talk about the reason behind that, and it was essentially, now this might be a controversial thing to say to the hosts of this show.
You're on WPFW. Controversial is invited, so go ahead.
All right. So the reason that I became a Republican, at least in name, was because of Ron Paul, not his son Rand Paul.
So you're a libertarian.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, but I, for a while, I definitely identified as a libertarian. I'm open to many things. But yeah, libertarianism is very attractive to me.
So what's your question for us? You said you had a question too.
Well, yeah. So the comment essentially is that, I hope and foresee the possibility, through people like Ron Paul that could be on either party, independent parties, et cetera, to have grassroots and common ground to reach the things that, you know, that are common. So, for example, with libertarianism, it would be foreign policy, start to use the word conservative foreign policy. What I mean by that is one which is defensive and not offensive. Yeah,
conservative in the true definition of the word.
Legalization of marijuana, supporting same-sex marriage. What's your question for us?
So my question is essentially, what do you guys think about that? Just because I do hear a lot of your comments, and it's very similar to how I was raised, and it's in one aspect it I like it because it's familiar to me, but in another aspect I think it can be divisive because just seeing the university students when Ron Paul came to speak, there were people of all different types of people that you would definitely not consider conservative.
All right, well, let's talk about Ron Paul.
Thank you very much.
I have plenty of views. It's funny, when I worked in Congress, when I worked for Congressman Barney Frank as a legislative counsel, we had a bill with Ron Paul to basically allow states to legalize medical marijuana. So I don't think Ron Paul is all bad. I do think, though, there is a lot of bad in Ron Paul. In terms of true libertarianism, getting government out of our private lives, again, you should be able to marry the person of your choice, do what you want with your own body. I'm entirely with the libertarians. But Ron Paul's got some pretty wacky ideas. I mean, Ron Paul, for example, doesn't want an independent central bank. He doesn't. Right. He hates the Federal Reserve, which I got to tell you did more to get us out of this recession than anybody. Obama tried with his stimulus, but the Republicans stymied him, and we're doing better off than anyone in the world. Ron Paul's got some weird ideas, and in fact, if you look far enough back in his history, some of his ideas actually he had some white supremacists support his magazine, to be a libertarian, okay. When it comes to personal freedoms, I fully support that. But you also kind of have to believe in not helping other people. libertarians, to me, take that question, am I my brother's keeper? And they say, nope, I'm on my own. And to me, that's just not the way societies function. You know, you want anarchy, go to Somalia, but we are born helpless. We are born infants, babies, and we got here because of our parents, our teachers, our country, our society, and I just think we've got something to give back, and you could put that in religious terms if you want. It doesn't have to be in religious terms, but I just think, when I think of a true libertarian, I think of selfishness. I think of Ayn Rand, and that's not a philosophy that I can fully support.
Rand Paul, I'm trying to find it right now, but there was a, I actually put a post up recently where Rand Paul said that, he was talking about the members of Congressional Black Caucus, and he said they oppose war because they want more money for food stamps. He just said that within the last few weeks and took a lot of heat for that.
He also opposed the Civil Rights Act.
For obvious, yeah, he says that was a bit. Here's the thing about, there's a couple of things. It's not a coincidence that Rand Paul, Rand Paul, libertarianism is embraced by neo-Nazis and white supremacists. Let's be square
about
that.
Yeah, but I don't want to accuse all of the supporters of being that.
I didn't say all they were.
Because there are, I understand, I mean, look, you're right, Garland. But
here's my point.
But there are plenty of young people, libertarians.
But there's a point I'm making, getting to.
Okay.
It's not a coincidence. And white supremacists and neo-Nazis very much embrace libertarianism, and here's why. And here's why I oppose to it. I oppose it. And why most of, you ain't gonna find a whole lot of black libertarians or people of color who are libertarians.
That's true.
Why? Now, why is that? Because one of the things that people of color, that minority groups, that people who are members of groups who need certain protections and freedoms as a group need group rights. By their very nature and ideology, they oppose group rights. They believe in the complete and total supremacy of individual rights.
That's right.
Whereas as a black person, or as a, if somebody is black, if somebody is a member of a, of any group or organization or whatever that needs some level of group protections, what you want is a healthy balance.
Here's the problem with
between, well, here's what I'm saying. Yeah. You want a healthy balance between individual freedoms and individual protections and group freedoms and group protections, a healthy balance. They don't want a healthy balance. So what happens? Who wins in the libertarian world? The individual freedoms of the majority group. It makes for the very nature of a hierarchical society is based on those types of individual freedoms. So, and therefore, as a black person, I gotta oppose libertarianism because libertarians would have left me in a cotton field because they would have said, what did libertarians say? Slavery, the market would have handled it. You know where the market would have left me? Picking cotton.
So young people are often attracted to libertarianism. They're attracted to individualism. They're young and they're healthy, and they think the individual can do whatever they want. Individualism is superficially
attractive.
It's superficially attractive because it's like everyone stands at the same line in a race, and you let people run as far as they can. That makes sense, but here's the problem. We are not born equal.
Right,
we say all men are created equal. We're not able to run a race from the same starting point. There are people that grow up with silver spoons in their mouth and a great education and are given everything they want in life, and they're in that race and they're running a mile and they're 10 feet from the finish line. There are other people that are 100 miles back from the finish line. We don't start in the same place. If we all start in the same place, and you wanted to argue, well, then we should all go as far as we can, that would make some sense. That's sort of pure capitalism. But because we don't all start in the same place, and because we're just lucky or unlucky, depending on where we're born, that's why we need some kind of equal opportunity to give us all a fighting chance.
Libertarianism, to me, is nothing more than social Darwinism, and it's the foundation of a hierarchical society, and it keeps those who have having, and those who don't have not having. We got one more call, and then we're going to have to go.
Well, we got a quick, just give the pledge number out real quick. 202-588-9739. We could use just two more pledges, actually, to fill our quota. So, pledge, please. Go ahead.
Bill.
Last caller.
Bill, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Bill.
You're on the air.
Yes. I'm on the air. I'm the fella that you cut off, sir.
Bill, unfortunately, you're not allowed to call back twice. I thank you for calling, but when you call and you're allowed to talk for a while, we only allow one call per show. Mark, we're about to run out of time. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, Mark, how would they do it?
You can follow me on Twitter at MarkLivingTalk, MarkLevidTalk. My website's MarkLivingTalk.com. I'm also on Facebook. Let me know what you thought of the show. Critique it, whatever you want. Just stay in touch.
And if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me. It's GarlandIn@gmail.com. That's GarlandIn. The N is for Nixon. GarlandIn@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook at Garland Nixon, and I'm on Twitter. You can tweet me. I'm at Garland Nixon. It's great having a name like Garland Nixon, because like when you search for your name, Garland Nixon, there's no other ones out there.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous. Mark Levine. There's some evil people that have a similar name to mine.
There's one or two Mark Levines out there. One in particular.
It's true.
But he's missing an E, isn't he? I think it's Mark Levin.
The second E stands for empathy, which I have and he lacks.
You know, it would be almost like my name being Rush Limbaughy, with the Y on the end.
Well, you do have the name Nixon, I got to tell you. He's not exactly a liberal hero.
Yeah, but it's not close. Rush Limbaughy, you know.
I'm just glad your parents didn't name you Richard.
Yeah. That was my dad's middle name.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So we'll be back next Friday at 6. Me and Mark's going to be back.
Absolutely.
Next week. Mark's
absolutely.
Be back. I'm going to be back.
Join us at 6 o'clock. And please, in the few minutes between us and Robin's place, before the wonderful jazz calms you down, give a call to WPFW 202-588-9739. Make a pledge. $50 makes you a member. $165 gets you that wonderful box set with Martin Luther King. This station depends on you. And frankly, we could use your help.
And I certainly once. Again, I want to thank Prince, who got the Martin Luther King box set, who donated in memory of his dear wife, Christine, and Andre Barnett in Columbia. Thank you very much, Andre. Thank you, Prince and Andre, for supporting. We'll be back. Bill Witherspoon, take us out of here.
Thanks for listening to the Just Completed Public Affairs or News Program. As a listener-sponsored community radio station, WPFW appreciates your feedback, whether favorable or otherwise. To provide your feedback, even if it is regarding one of our many music programs, simply email us at info@wpfw.org. That's info@wpfw.org. Thanks.